Let's open our Bibles to the book of Nehemiah. If you didn't notice, one of my kids is named Nehemiah. That's because I really, really like this guy in the Bible. I would love for my son, Nehemiah, to be making this guy his role model. He is a man of prayer. He is a man of action. He is a man who understood the will of God and was able to accomplish the will of God in a very short amount of time. One of the jobs which I had while I was in New York City as an assistant pastor was that of being a general contractor. I owned my own business, home improvement contracting. And I did that for about 2 years. And it always amazed me that I could try to estimate a project. I worked by myself. I eventually gave up the idea of estimating how long a project would take, because it always seemed to take longer than I thought, and it ended up costing more than I thought. And what Nehemiah accomplished in the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem is absolutely incredible. He rebuilt the walls with the people of God, the power of God, in about 52 days from start to finish. And that was no easy project. But before he did that, Nehemiah had a meeting with his brother. And that's where we start the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. It says, "The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem." So the picture here is that Nehemiah is serving the king of Persia in a foreign land, in the land of Persia, and about over 70 years ago, the city of Jerusalem had been captured by the Babylonian Empire. The Babylonian Empire had carried away captives from Judah and Jerusalem and brought them into the land of Babylon to teach them Babylonian ways so that they would not rise up once again in the city of Jerusalem to make resistance. And after 70 years of captivity, the Babylonian Empire had already been conquered, and the king of Persia, which was the conquering empire over Babylon, had begun to let some of the Jewish people go back to their land. And God had already used the people who had returned, in the book of Ezra, you study it, to start rebuilding the temple. And the temple had been completed. And Nehemiah was hearing news reports of what was going on in the land of Jerusalem, the homeland. And he was very excited about what he had heard going on. So his brother, either on vacation to Israel, or he'd moved to Israel and was coming back to visit Babylon, meets Nehemiah. And Nehemiah, you can imagine, goes out of his house, rushes, hugs him, and says, "Tell me, how are things going in Jerusalem?" And the report is not good. It's not what Nehemiah seemed to expect. He knew that they were struggling, I'm sure, but what he heard did not make him happy. Verse 3, "And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." It was a city which was defenseless. It was a people that were impoverished. It was a people that were mocked by their neighbors around them. It was a people whose gates were burned with fire. Now, in those days, gates spoke of the glory within, okay? When I was in New York, before I got my general contracting job, I worked for a cabinet refinishing company, and they also did on-site work where they did doors. They did front doors for houses. Now, most of the houses in New York City only have a front of about 15 feet, okay? And then their next house, their row house, is joined right up against them. So you have 15 feet, maybe three stories, and you want to make it look nice. It's a brownstone, so what do? You decorate the door as nicely as possible. You spend thousands of dollars, I found, on making the doors look really nice. And these doors spoke of wealth of the inhabitants as high. If you had a really nice door, then things were going well inside the house, typically speaking. And the gates of Jerusalem and the walls of Jerusalem had once spoken of a great God who dwelt inside. And then it spoke, just as the temple spoke of the fact that this was the city of God. This was God's special place. This is the place where God had chosen to set his name. And when Nehemiah hears that the city of God and the people of God are in a reproached state, in a state of weakness and a state of poverty, it grips him greatly. Verse 4, it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. New York City used to be a place where God was well known. It used to be a place where it was filled with preachers preaching the word of God. Our country used to be a place which was known for its templed hills, where it was obviously a Christian nation, where people in general had a fear of the great God of heaven and earth. Those days have come and gone. And we are no longer known as that. We can have a president who will honestly stand up and say that, you know, America is not really a Christian nation anymore. Maybe it once was, but today it is not. And that should grip us. That should get our attention. We should be patriotic about this, to the point where we can look back and say, you know, our country once represented something great for God. And now, that former glory has seemed to fade away. And that shouldn't just be something we go, ho-hum, oh well, let's go on to the next thing. This gripped Nehemiah very greatly. And because of that, he got serious about it. He sat down and wept and mourned certain days and prayed. Do we, seeing the situation our country is in, go to the same lengths? Does it grieve our heart? Okay, maybe it grieves your heart. Does it propel you to prayer for our country? For righteousness once again to be proclaimed in our great cities and throughout the land? Does it stir you to that? And what else does it stir Nehemiah to? Verse 5 through the rest of the chapter will tell us. It says in verse 5, And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night. For the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept thy commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Okay, what? Not only does Nehemiah get gripped by the situation that his city and his country is in, not only does he move to prayer, but it moves him to confession of sin in his own life and that of his nation. He says, you know, I am part of the problem here. I have dealt very corruptly against God. Now, when Jerusalem was captured and the walls were burned down, was it Nehemiah's fault? Nehemiah wasn't even alive yet. But here he is saying, look, the situation is bad all around me, and I bear some of the responsibility. And I bear some of the responsibility because I personally am not walking with God the way that I should be walking with God. And if we are patriotic about our country being right with God, we need to make sure that we ourselves are right with God, that we are clean from unholiness. You know, a powerful people for God must first be a holy people from God. God needs us to be sanctified in our hearts before he can truly use us to accomplish great works. And verse 8 says, remember, I beseech thee, the word thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you will transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them into the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now verses 8 and 9 are speaking of a specific promise God has given to the nation of Israel. We in America don't have the same promise. The church is not the same as Israel. But there is a principle here that when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we personally have offended against God in our lack of holiness and our lack of love for Him, He will restore us when we come to Him in honest confession about that. And then after that, He can use us mightily to do what He wants. Verse 10, "Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." When Nehemiah realized how grave the problem was, he was driven to prayer. He was driven to prayer of confession of his own unholiness, own sinfulness. He was driven to prayer that God would cleanse them, him personally, and use him personally. Nehemiah was in a unique position. Nehemiah, so far as we know, had absolutely no experience in construction. Nehemiah was a cupbearer for the king. Yet he realized that a man surrendered to the will of God could be used, and that God had placed him in a specific situation for a specific use for him. God has placed each one of us in a specific spot, and He wants us to be willing to be used there. And if we ask Him to use us, He will. Now that may mean you get to remain as a king's cupbearer, or that may mean that you need to go build a wall, or it may mean that you need to surrender to whatever God has for you, maybe even serving Him as a missionary, maybe doing something which you never considered before in your life, because you believe what God's Word says, and you believe that God can use you to accomplish something for His glory. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray that You would drive Your Word home into our heart. Lord, we thank You that You can use unskilled people. As a matter of fact, You delight in using those who are weak so that You can receive glory when Your strength is shown. I pray that You would use people in this congregation to be surrendered, to be concerned about their own country, to be concerned about Your glory in this place, in a place where You were once feared and now You are mocked openly. I pray that You would get a hold of our hearts, that You would cleanse us from the unrighteousness and the selfishness which we have, that we may be useful vessels in Your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ben. I'm going to let Ben and his family go ahead to the back, and that'll give you an opportunity to talk to them. But a great challenge for us tonight. Ben and Andrea are willing to serve wherever the Lord has called them. So we have to be, as Nehemiah was. God put him where He wanted him to be. And we have to be willing to do that as well. We're going to stand in just a moment and pray. And let me encourage you to stop by their table and talk to them, get to know them a little bit, and pray for them as they make their way to New York City and specifically to the Bronx. Let's go ahead and stand together, please. Now, Father, thank You for the challenge You've given us tonight from the life of Nehemiah. And, Lord, we recognize that we have no dearth of sinfulness in our country, and that we, even as Your children, need to come to a place where we confess the sin of our nation in abandoning You. And, Lord, I pray that You'll help us to do our part in drawing people to You. And I pray that Your Holy Spirit will work through us. Lord, I pray for Ben and Andrea and their family as they go to the Bronx, that You would prepare them. And even as he's mentioned tonight, I pray that You would set aside a place. Perhaps there's an individual there that has a location that would work well for the beginning of a ministry. And I pray You'll touch that heart and You'll begin to work there tonight. And Lord, I pray for them as they continue their deputation, that You'll provide for them and that You will get a ministry started there that would reach people. Lord, thank You for the opportunities we have to be exposed to this. And I pray you'll give us a burden not only for other ministries, but for people that we will interact with in the next few days. I pray you'll dismiss us with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.